Patients, a compassionate professional service for the Sheridan community. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. At Sheridan Funeral Home, we respect all faiths, creeds, and customs. We take great pride in our compassionate professional service. We promise to take care of you and your loved ones with respect and dignity, just as if we were taking care of our own. It is a privilege to be able to serve you when you need us. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremation's compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
Hi, this is Brad at Primate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guy keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Do you have a great business idea but don't know where to start? Join the Wyoming Small Business Development Center on September 9th at the Sheridan Chamber of Commerce from 5:30 to 7 p.m. for a no-cost Start Your Own Business workshop. Learn the steps for starting a business and other resources available for small business owners. Register at WyomingSBDC.org or call 307-682-5232 for more information.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, August 26th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by the University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad. Welcome back.
Morning, Floyd. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Now, the semester began on Monday, correct?
Yes, it did. Yep. Our freshmen came last week. They had that a week of kind of orientation we call Saddle Up. But yes, the first official day of classes was Monday, and so campus is bustling. The traffic's gotten a little rougher in town here, although still not that bad, actually. Things are rolling. It's an exciting time.
You know, it's that time period when everybody's learning where everything is at. You know, the freshmen coming into town, their first year there, Laramie, learning where all the hot spots are. How does it really feel right now when you go out and you got all the students back?
Yeah, there's an energy in there, Floyd. I mean, you got students moving around. You've got the marching band getting ready for the football season. You know, there's just a lot going on, you know, and activities really picking up, entertainment things happening. It's just a really cool time of the year here. And, a university town like this it's really a special thing. It really is.
You know, I'll bet all the restaurants certainly do appreciate everyone popping back in for the semester. The buzz about the residence halls. Let's talk about that a little bit. You say that the freshmen have been there for a week. They got that Saddle Up program, which is fairly new. What is that, 3 years old now?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. 3 years. Yep. Yep.
That's a fantastic program.
Yeah, it is. And we're seeing some results from it, Floyd. You know, the retention rate is really important to us. We want students to come here and succeed and persist, you know, and the students who participate in Saddle Up are retained at a higher percentage than those who don't participate. And so it's the real thing is you hear the individual accounts from the students. Now, I'm not going to say everybody loves every single minute of it. You know what I mean? There might be some things, and we do surveys to try to improve it from year to year. But the new residence halls are a great new wrinkle to the whole thing here, because now not all of the students got to get in there, because we only opened the one for this fall. The second one, that's a little bit bigger, actually will be open for the spring semester. But everybody's now eating at the new dining center in there, and it's pretty cool. It's really a showpiece.
Oh, absolutely. Now, this is the first new residence hall in over 60 years, something that you and I have talked about. You know, do you feel that this is really going to change that first year experience that students do have? You've got the Saddle Up program. You got some of the freshmen in those new residence halls, right? Or are they in the older ones?
No, so the freshmen are in the there's 410 beds in the new North Hall, which is open now, and so those are almost all freshmen.
Wow.
Although, you know, we got your RAs and stuff in there, and then so we're still using some of the what we call our legacy halls as well. But everybody, all of them are eating now at the new dining center from all of the halls, and so it's you know we now can say that we have. When we're looking at, you know, students come to visit and compare with other schools, we're gonna hold up a lot better than we have, Floyd, from the residence life aspect. You know, those are iconic structures. You know, they're about as old as I am, maybe a little older, but you know, they're just outdated.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a big one for you, Floyd. We got air conditioning in these in the new halls.
Oh,
and
I'll tell you, that's
so
something when you don't have it, you certainly want it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, up in those high, especially up at the higher level ones in the old residence halls, it's like, yeah, it can get kind of, you know, so people bring fans and they bring all kinds of stuff. But the way it's set up, though, in these new halls is if you open up your window, then the AC and stuff shuts off. So, you know, you have your option. You know, have some options here. You can open your windows if it's beautiful outside and that kind of thing. But the system is really a high-tech HVAC system in there. So anyway, although it looks, the exterior of it, Floyd, looks like really sort of like, you know, it's gothic. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
It looks like an older sort of, it matches the older buildings, I guess, or complements the older buildings on campus. But inside, it's very modern.
You know, that was something, I went down there for my niece's graduation from the high school, and you guys are generous enough that you hold their graduation right there. So my family and I were able to kind of walk around a little bit, look at some of the new buildings. I finally got an opportunity to look at that new parking center, and it really does. It all still matches together with that beautiful stone that the University of Wyoming is so well known for. Let's touch on that new dining center. This is open to students, staff. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Laramie residents as well can go in there and grab some lunch.
The public, the whole public, that's right. And it's not just lunch, Floyd. So it's 12 for the general public, $12.99 a piece, and it's all you can eat. And it's not your traditional just cafeteria sort of thing. There's 9 different food stations in there. And including a bakery and that kind of stuff, but you got Asian, you got classic kind of Americana dishes, you got Italian, just a variety of things.
That's fantastic.
To choose from. Yep.
I think
so,
I know.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. And people ought to come check it out. I mean, check out, you get to experience a little bit of college life and mix in with our students and faculty and staff.
So folks visiting Laramie, if they want to see all this, they can just walk in, pay $12.99, all they can eat, a whole, you know, soiree of different dishes and things that they can enjoy right then and there. Plus, kind of, as you said, kind of see the new place and really get to experience it. I think that's absolutely amazing. What a fantastic move to open that up to everybody. Now, this is a $285.5 million project. This is UW's largest construction project, correct?
That's correct, in our whole university history, yes. By quite a margin, actually.
That's incredible. What does this investment really signal about the university's future to the world?
So what really signifies, Floyd, is a commitment to the residential student experience at the University of Wyoming. So we also, of course, have a good array of online programs. Those are going to continue to grow. But the heart of what we offer is a quality experience for students to come here and have a good, you know, college student experience in person. And again, you know, the growth area for a lot of higher ed is going to be in the distance programs. And like I said, we're we're doing those and we're growing those as well for people who are more place-bound and that kind of thing, you know, or maybe non-traditional students. But the traditional student experience, we're going to really give priority here and continue to. And that's it's a major commitment on the part of the state of Wyoming, and our board of trustees, and the university, that this is going to be still the center of what we're about.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not, bagging on distance learning in any way. I think it's such a fantastic opportunity. My wife took advantage of it. I know a lot of people who've taken advantage of distance learning. If you're kind of in one spot and you need to get something done, that's the best way to do it. But if you do have the opportunity to attend the university right there on the campus grounds, Chad, correct me if I'm wrong, but the numbers show a higher success rate in students who really engage in campus life, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, those numbers are can't really be disputed, Floyd, and it's been observed over a period of years across the country. But yeah, it is something that because education is more just about than what you get in the classroom, Floyd, or in the laboratory or in the field. It's the interactions that you have with people, mm-hmm. the relationships you make, and those relationships last a lifetime, really. And so that's a big part of the what college is all about, and it's preparing you for your career, and so you're going to have experiences. Most of us, our line of work involves some degree of interaction with other people, and so those are the sorts of experiences you're going to have here that prepare you for life and your career.
Absolutely. It's kind of your first big step into the real world, isn't it? When we look at the especially small town Wyoming, where I grew up, I'm sure where you grew up, and then you kind of step out of that and you see how diverse and amazing it actually can be. But this is just your first step to a much broader universe. Chad, I'm going to switch gears on you here real quick. And correct me if I'm saying his name wrong. Professor Daniel Rowe just received a major NSF grant. Can you tell us a little bit about this grant and how important these awards are in helping new faculty launch research right there at the University of Wyoming?
You betcha, Floyd. So, we, as a land grant and flagship university here, we education and research, we do both. They actually feed into each other very well. And Dr. Rao I don't do a whole lot with 3D printing, Floyd, but I know a lot of other people do. And his project is taking a look at, apparently, a lot of the 3D printing products that come out of those things are hard. It's not soft, bendable material.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at ways to make it so that you have flexible, stretchy materials that can be more useful for things, say, like in healthcare or in the biomedical industry or say maybe in like football helmets or that kind of stuff. So this is material science and figuring out how to have 3D printers produce things that are a little more flexible.
That's really interesting. And I never even gave it one thought, Chad, until I read that story this morning. When we think about things like seals, rings, rubber, sealants, we don't think that we can't 3D print those and how Yep. useful that can actually be. But what was it that he said that kind of currently right now it just turns into a blobby type of mess? Trying to 3D Yep. print anything that's soft, I guess, and that would make sense. It doesn't really have time to, I guess, solidify or form or whatever. So that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah. This is a thing when you first hear about it, it's like, well, okay, it sounds maybe a little esoteric, but no, this has applications that are going to help improve our lives, Floyd, over time. He talks about, for instance, particularly focused on healthcare. He said, the human body is soft. So there are things the human body likes that are soft, like implants or wearable devices, or maybe even like a better pair of running shoes. I mean, this is about helping create things that make life better for everybody.
That's incredible. And when I look at these things, you know, UW has worked with NASA, and this project actually connects you guys all the way over to their Brookhaven National Lab in New York. What do collaborations like this really mean for UW and Wyoming as a whole in the eyes of the university?
You bet. So there are multiple benefits. Floyd, one of them, we'll talk about the student experience. So there are undergraduate students working in this laboratory getting this experience, hands-on educational experience that can help them launch a career, a successful career. So that's one. The other one is there's an economic benefit. So this funding provides for salaries for postgraduates or grad students and even some undergraduates it's sort of like a small business, you might call it, where the people are living and working here. They're paying taxes. They're supporting the local economy and the state economy. And there will be an outcome here. You know, a lot of this research turns into commercial enterprises. And so we have businesses in Wyoming because of this sort of thing, Floyd. So that's there's an economic benefit to the state. Then there's a real strong benefit to our students as well.
Absolutely. And to think that, you know, right here at the University of Wyoming, we can have something as important as this really kind of be discovered, being worked towards, at least right now. Who knows what he's going to discover, but wouldn't that be fantastic? You know, that's a whole application, a whole series of applications in the medical field, in the safety field. If we could print out these soft materials, who knows what we could make? Anything. We could make anything. All right, on that, I've got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our University of Wyoming right here. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
It's time to cowboy up and register for the annual Wolf Creek Wrangell Trail Run. Race day is September 20th, and you can run, hike, or participate virtually in 5-mile, 7-mile, half marathon, or 30K. This event is hosted by the historic Eaton's Ranch, and all proceeds benefit Habitat for Humanity. Spots are limited. To register, go to runwolfcreekwrangell.com. This year's Wolf Creek Wrangell is sponsored in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism.
Hi, this is Ken at Prime Rate Motors. We're proud of this year's 4-H and FFA kids. Every one of them showed up, worked hard, and did their part raising animals, building projects, learning responsibility. These young folks are the real deal. They're not just the future of agriculture, they're the future of this whole community. From all of us at Prime Rate Motors, great job, kids. Oh, and did I mention all the stock and horse trailers have huge discounts through the month of August? Prime Rate Motors, Sheridan, Wyoming.
Here in Laramie, these cowboys don't quit.
We keep fighting. This is a new chapter.
Let's ride for the brand together.
Cowboys, cowboys, cowboys!
We're Wyoming Tough.
It's gone! Touchdown!
Join us Thursday. The Cowboys visit Akron. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Wyoming football.
Cowboy football on 1410 AM and 106.9 FM KWYO.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Hello, Sheridan. This is Brooke with Sheridan County Predator Management District. Sheridan County has seen record numbers of rabies cases the past couple of years, and this year has a similar potential. If you or a family member see an animal that is acting sick or unusual, please do not approach that animal. Report to the district's rabies handler, Paul Herman, for extraction and testing at 307-751-1412.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. The semester began on Monday, folks. Freshmen are learning the lay of the land while the upperclassmen are settling back into their campus life. The name of the game is seizing opportunity. Speaking of opportunity, Chad, can you tell us a little bit about the Wind River Promise Fund? What is this?
You bet, Floyd. So the university has agreements with the tribes of the Wind River Reservation, the Eastern Shoshone and the Northern Arapaho. And as an outgrowth of that, those agreements, or there was a commitment in those agreements to try to increase the opportunity for tribal members at the state's university. And so this Wind River Promise Fund is our board of trustees, the UW Foundation, had created this $2 million endowment, including some expendable funds to launch this scholarship programs for the fall of 2026. And that's designed to cover up to the full cost of undergraduate tuition and mandatory fees. So it's going to be a little bit dependent because we have to do fundraising now to actually grow that, and it depends on how many students apply for it. But it opens up increased opportunity for graduates from the Wind River Reservation to come and get an education here at the state's university.
What does this step mean for UW's long-term relationship with Wyoming's indigenous population?
We're hopeful that it's going to make it stronger, Floyd. We talked about the agreement, the commitments that have been made to work together, and this is a really good faith effort on the part of the university, and which has done lots of consultation with tribal leaders to provide a new level of opportunity for our native students. And, we have a number of existing scholarship programs. This now comes on top of those. And we have a Native American center here on campus for Native students. And this is all done under these agreements with the sovereign governments of these tribes to serve what the university should be doing for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, switching gears, speaking of another opportunity, diet and nutrition driving many leading health issues right now. You've got a new graduate program that's going to help address these challenges right here in the Cowboy State. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's a vocation called, or profession called, Registered Dietitian Nutritionist. And they provide a variety of services from in medical settings to nutrition plans for people. I mean, there's a whole field of opportunity for people. And we now have this master's degree program, and it's going to admit students starting next fall. And it's an 18-month master's degree program where people can emerge and then as what these registered dietitian nutritionists.
Now, how big of a difference is it to now complete the full pathway right there at UW?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, we of course offer a whole bunch of programs, Floyd, and some but we don't have a medical school, for example. Mm-hmm. Now, you can do in the WAMI program, you do your first 2 years of medical school here, and then move on to the University of Washington, but same with, let's say, physical therapy or dentistry, that kind of thing. But this is one now where this is this master's degree credential. We've had an undergrad program in dietetics for a century. Now this field of work requires a graduate degree, so we're offering that now that people can enter the workforce with this degree.
Chad, do you see a lot more of this happening in the future? It all depends on a lot of different factors, and that's something that I realize. But even in your time there, I feel like a lot of programs have either been developed or expanded upon to add additional levels of education and certification and degrees. Do you see this really continuing as a trend at the University of Wyoming? More and more master's levels programs kind of opening up as the university grows?
A whole bunch of different things, yes, Floyd, I think so. And it won't just necessarily be master's degrees. You mentioned certificates. The certificates are kind of a thing that are maybe an add-on to a bachelor's degree, for example, that qualifies you for a particular line of work. But yes, we have started a number of new programs in my time here, and that's in response to what the employers want. And how we can serve our state better by producing people to live and work in our state. Now, at the same time, because, you know, I mean, there are some programs that maybe have kind of run their course and are outdated. Mm-hmm. And maybe have less demand and less. And so then, you know, some of those have been eliminated. And so it's a constant thing that we do to assess where can we serve better by creating some new programs and new trainings and degrees or certificates, and where because we can't do everything, right? There's some things maybe we need to kind of cull. And so that's a continuing process here.
And you know, it's really the life of the university. You know, things grow, expand, adapt, and our university's no different. I'm running out of time with you, Chan, but there is something I did want you to talk about having to do with sports, because UW just announced a big partnership with the Buffalo Bills following Josh Allen's MVP season. How does this deal boost the university's national brand?
Well, Floyd, now we're co-branded with one of the hottest NFL franchises in the country, and due in large measure to the fact that one of our alumni is the most valuable player of the National Football League and is leading that team. And has an incredible story, which is the UW story, which is he didn't get a chance. If we hadn't given him a chance to play football here, he wouldn't have played Division I football and probably wouldn't have been drafted and had the amazing career that he's had. It's the story of UW, which is we take unheralded dreamers from all over the place, and no matter the field, they get a chance here to kind of come and have experiences, hone their skills, and really shine and develop, and then move on to great careers. You see it in field after field after field. We just happen to have one in the most popular spectator sport in America, yeah. who has distinguished himself as the best player in that league. And so we're seizing on that opportunity to tell the story of the University of Wyoming and the Bills as partners of the Bills. Then that gives us an ability to reach people really across the country. But our real focus is our main part of the focus is on Western New York, where he's I think he could be elected. If there was a state of Western New York, they'd probably elect Josh as governor.
James, you know, is nodding his head right now. He agrees with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And so it's exciting. We're going to do some student recruiting activities there at their stadium. We'll be on their LED ribbon board through the whole season. We've already been on their preseason games. And so it's a great opportunity to tell the story of the University of Wyoming through this amazing career that this guy's having, a guy that we all take great pride in because we helped him get to where he is.
I think that's absolutely amazing. What a fantastic partnership going forward.
If he wanted to run for governor here, too, he probably could win here.
He'd probably take it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
All right, Chad, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. It is always a pleasure speaking with you, my friend. One of these days, I'm going to pop in and say hi. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with our Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Volunteers of America.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Mandy Kolciska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. 2-year-old Huda is an Australian Shepherd with enough energy to keep up with your active lifestyle. If you need a running companion, run up to the shelter to meet her. Tawny's a sweet older lady who would love a calm home where she can snooze and eat treats. If you're looking for a loyal kitty, Tawny's waiting for you.
Hey Bob, at Waring Chevrolet, we've got the vehicle you want. Plus, we'll help you get an extended warranty to keep it covered.
That's like having cake and ice cream, Doug.
It's more like peace of mind for the road, Bob.
Yeah, but now I'm hungry. Anyway, financing. You've got in-house financing.
Yep. Or we'll partner with your favorite local bank, as long as you get the car you want. We'll help you drive it home, extended warranty, financing, and awesome service.
And cake and ice cream if you can catch Doug at the right time.
Waring Chevrolet, full service, online at WaringSheridan.com.
Back in the days when Sheridan was a frontier town, folks gathered where good food, strong spirits, and fine company met. That spirit lives on at Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits. Step through our doors on Main Street and you'll find more than a meal. You'll find a taste of Western history, crafted with care and served with the warmth of true Wyoming hospitality. Whether you're raising a glass or savoring a plate, every moment is where history meets unforgettable flavor. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
It's lights, camera, action for the 8th Annual YO Film Fest presented by the Standish Family Fund. It all kicks off on Thursday, October 2nd with feature documentary Remaining Native. The Friday night feature is World Without Cows, a film that tells the importance of cattle to Wyoming's people and environment. New this year, bring the kids for Saturday morning cartoons at 9 a.m., a family-friendly block of animated short films with a colorful mix of styles for kids and adults. Pajamas encouraged. Enjoy a cereal bar, breakfast treats, coffee, and Bloody Marys for the grown-ups. Then at 10:30, it's Wake Up with Wyoming, short films made in Wyoming by Wyoming filmmakers or inspired by life in this beautiful state. See the complete lineup and get individual tickets or buy a festival pass. Good for the whole weekend. The 8th Annual YO Film Fest, October 2nd through October 5th. Get your tickets now at yofilmfest.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for a second part this morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Library System Director Amy Long and Community Engagement Manager Cassie Stone. Good morning, ladies, and welcome back.
Morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I'm looking forward to some cloudy days, if you want the truth. I'm not a
Same.
Big guy on the heat outside.
I agree. I am looking forward to fall.
You know, the thunder and the lightning never bothered me. When I was growing up as a little kid, I'd be out at the cow camp or my uncle's sheep camp, and you sit out there and you can see for miles down the valley. And I would watch the lightning strike miles away. And I never understood. I mean, I guess, why people are scared of it, but it never bothered me to see that kind of stuff. It was very picturesque, actually. Wyoming landscape at its best. Now, the summer reading program.
Yeah.
This was a huge success last year. I called it your banner year.
Yes, absolutely.
But is this year your banner year?
Well, indeed it is.
How amazing is that?
It's wonderful. I mean, we love seeing it be a success. And this year, we planned for, I think Zola and I were thinking, well, maybe another 100 over and above what we did last year, but she ended up with 300 more kids signing up this year than we had last year in the initial part. And we decided to keep better statistics throughout so that we could target ordering prizes and making sure that we had the right number of prizes. And so at the midway point, we still had 400 kids picking up prizes in the middle, which blew her away because she ran out of prizes. We had to keep ordering prizes every week because we would run out. And at the end, she still had 70 kids finish, which is more than she's had before. So we had more participation in the beginning, more they continue throughout participating, and more finishers at the end. So, yeah, it was great.
Amy, that's amazing.
I know.
You know,
we're thrilled.
You're looking at the numbers last year, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is just one of those spikes. You know, everybody thought, hey, I want to get in on this. And I thought maybe this year we might go ahead and just kind of maintain those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But then you skyrocket again. I think that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit to Zola. Well, I give all the credit to Zola, of course. But one of the things I think made a big difference is she went out to the schools. And I believe she talked to at least one school in every classroom in that school. She went and talked about the summer reading program. And, of course, the outreach that we've done this year is a new thing for us. And everyone she talked to at First Thursday, everyone she talked to out in our booths at different events. Zola is just amazing, and she draws people to her and can't help for her enthusiasm for literacy and reading to kind of just be contagious throughout the community. So plus the amazing program she comes up with, and Cassie is similar. They are a powerhouse and a dynamite team. So having them work together on these great events has been, I think, a big draw.
Cassie, how do you, excuse me, how do you pull them in? I mean, how do you really get the attention of somebody who, you know, like me when I was a little kid, I'm outside chasing butterflies. How do you get me through the door and get me sat down and looking at a book?
When I think about Zola and the way that she is contagious and the way that she brings people in. And I think some of the things that we have done, the outreach, like going up to the Tournament of Knights and Third Thursday. And then we did, we had a booth at the Artist Collective Festival for the first time this year. We had a storybook garden where people could just come and lay down. The word that I keep coming back to is hospitality. And I think that it's a little bit of like a kind of a like corporate dry word, but just creating a warm and welcoming environment and treating people that come into the door with respect and being glad to see them there. And I think one of the things that some of the feedback that we get about the library often is just like, they're the nicest staff. And like when I come in, they say hi. And I hear that not only from kind of locals, but travelers too, because I don't know if people know this, but there are like a subset of travelers that they visit libraries. Like that's a tourist attraction for them. And when people come to the Sheridan County Library, the Fulmer branch, I have had people from all over the country be like, this is one of the nicest libraries I've ever been in. And they want tours. And then a lot of times librarians will also visit because they want to check out other librarians. I've had librarians from Western Montana and librarians from Northern California and all over. But I really do think it's hospitality and warmth that is contagious and that is engaging. And I don't know the specific alchemy of how that translates to get people to read books, but something happens. Mm-hmm. And that warmth and hospitality translates into engagement with the collection and engagement with the library.
There's a lot of ownership, you know, and that's something that we've talked about quite a bit.
Have,
you know, this is your library. Engage in your library and take advantage of it. And when you walk in and you're welcomed in that way, you really feel like it is.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
And because of that, then you're looking at, well, I like being here.
Yeah.
So let's, what's happening? Let's check the schedule and see if there's a program that we can get involved with or whatever. And I think it's just amazing that you have set this culture.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. You've set a culture that really calls to locals to engage themselves within the library. Come check things out.
Yeah.
If you're into history, the Wyoming room, which we're going to touch on because mm-hmm. that's got a lot of foot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's really what it is. You set right. the bar really high in there.
Well, and I think there's a certain level of putting yourself in the community's shoes and thinking about what would they enjoy, what would help make their experience richer. I remember when we were talking about First Thursday and Cassie and Zolil were planning with the Friends of the Library because we were doing the booth with them. And Cassie was like, well, I'm going to bring these sensory bins because the kids, you know, they don't have a lot to do at First Thursday. And so the parents
third
were taught, or third Thursday.
Third Thursday.
Sorry.
No,
I said that
good.
Like four times. I was like,
you're all right.
Dang it. What is it again?
It's a number.
It was the first third Thursday.
There
it was
you
the
go.
June. This is why I kept saying the first one, because it was the first third Thursday.
It
this was
your
my problem,
first third
right?
Thursday.
And it was in June. It was the very beginning one, right?
It was
June, right?
Yep.
I'm not crazy. Okay. So I almost got the numbers right. Numbers, man. Yep.
So having that sensory thing.
Yeah.
And Cassie, that was an amazing move because yeah. you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not all the kids, but a lot of kids are hanging on the hand.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot to do. Mom's talking to everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the kids were playing in the sensory bin while Zola and Cassie and the friends were talking to the adults, and it just was the perfect combination. So I think keeping in mind what are the patrons looking for? What are community members looking for? What do they need to make this experience better? I was talking to a parent who was at Cassie's, the dual craft they were doing with the adults and the kids. So the kids had a craft over on one side and the adults had a craft over on the other side. And she said, you know, I can never finish something cool or do a craft, because once I start doing it, they want to help. And once they want to help, it becomes a kid craft. And it's not a cool adult craft. It's like glue and, you know, pipe cleaners all over it and whatever. And we did that on the other side. So the kid was satisfied and busy. And the parent got to make this really cool mask over with Cassie. And they were into it. Like, they were so excited to focus on something that had quality materials, was just something they could be creative with, and the kids weren't like tapping on their shoulder and, you know, climbing on their head. And at least my kids do that.
mine did too. Yeah.
So that's the thing I think it is Cassie and Zola are really good about thinking what would help make this experience richer for everyone we want to be engaged and involved. And when you do that, it translates into looking at all the stuff that's around, looking at the books and being more engaged with all of the things in the library and all of the things around. So I think that's big too.
And Cassie, have you sat down and really, you know, maybe talked with someone or conferred with anybody? But the question in your mind is, I don't want just another kids event. I want the entire family engaged here.
That is, Zola and I talk about that often. And we actually just had half day where we got together and like really talked about like what we want to do and how we want things to look and how we engage the whole family. I think the dual craft where we had adults doing crafts on one side and kids doing crafts on the other side, but in the same room,
mm-hmm.
was really successful and one of the first times where we're like, okay, we are in the right direction. And the other thing is, Zola and I are very flexible. So when we started the joint craft thing program, Zola had the kids in the children's theater and I had the adults in the inner circle. And it took one kid walking from the children's theater to the inner circle for Zola and I to be like, I think we need to adjust.
Yeah.
Because they know that their parents are in the library and they still want to seek them out and show them things. And so we decided to have it in the same room, but kind of split. And that worked so well. And it made parents more comfortable because the kids were in the room. And it made the kids less anxious because their parents were right there. It worked very well.
Little things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to adjust on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's,
Yep.
That's the cornerstone. That's the cornerstone to special forces right there.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Adjust on the fly.
Oh yeah.
That's what you guys are. Mm-hmm. You guys are Amy's special forces.
That's
right. Moving in there, adjusting on the fly, able to get the job done no matter what.
Yep, they're my Navy SEALs.
Absolutely love it. Now, let's talk about we're always talking about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the summer reading program also involves teens mm-hmm. and adults.
Of course.
I mean, anybody can take part in this thing. Cassie, what did that look like this year? Were you seeing parents really kind of engaging in reading along with the kids?
So this year we did adult book bingo and YA book bingo. In the past, they have been a joint thing. And this year I split them out. So there was two YA prizes and then two adult prizes. Just because I thought that it was more fair for the teens to have like their own things that they're shooting for and they weren't competing against adults.
Absolutely.
And those numbers, I think I had 75 adults and maybe 36 teens finish book bingo cards. So the way the program works is you get a book bingo card and you do the bingos. So like some of them's like read outside for 15 minutes or read a book with a blue cover or lots of different types of things. So the numbers that I gave you were the finishing numbers, so the people that completed. But I did print out probably 35 to 45 book bingo cards a week that were almost always gone.
Oh, wow.
So there is a difference between interest and completion. But interest is also important.
Yeah.
Because it tells you that people want to try it and do it. So next year, I think I'm going to do themed weeks and alter it a little bit and maybe, you know, try to get some more people that can complete those things.
And you know, like, I'm the type of guy, I might go in there, grab a book bingo card, okay, but then not finish the program, but just use it over the course of the next year,
mm-hmm.
you know, where
mm-hmm.
you're like, okay, read outside for 15 minutes when I got time to do that, boom, okay, mm-hmm. so I get to fill that square in.
Yeah.
And then maybe a month later, I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, blue cover. I got to go find a book with a blue cover. And so then you do that. Well, and I'm doing that this month, and boom, I get to fill that one in. So even though they may not have turned in that cart, that doesn't mean that it's not sitting on a counter somewhere, getting filled in over the course of the next year. And I really love that because it allows me, I might not get the prize,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a prompt.
That's right.
It's like a reading prompt. It's keeping me engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm running out of time with you. So I promised folks we'd touch on it. Let's talk about it. The Wyoming Room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Wyoming Room.
I hear about this place all the time.
That's right.
You know, this is where people go from the museum, from Sheridan Community Land Trust. I mean, you're a resource
mm-hmm.
that is absolutely getting, you know, you're getting the foot traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I am continually amazed by how diverse the inquiries are that the Wyoming Room gets up. There is one patron who calls the Wyoming Room the best research library on the American West, this side of the Mississippi. And I can't prove that, but I think that it's probably true. And so we do get a lot of local interest, and local authors do research there, and lots of like the Community Land Trust and things like that. But also the inquiries that they get via their online platform are, we got an inquiry from a filmmaker in Germany who is doing a film that is either about Sheridan in the 1980s or takes place in Sheridan in the 1980s. I mean, really obscure types
wow.
of inquiries from all over the world that are interested in what is in the Wyoming Room. And Michael has done such a great job at kind of bringing new life into the Wyoming Room and really trying to engage local youth and getting youth interested in history and having more things to draw them in. I think she has brought up the youth numbers in the Wyoming Room mm-hmm. from almost zero to like, it's now 45% of the kids that are in there, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
40, yeah.
45%.
45% of the people that are in there
of the foot traffic is kids.
Is kids. And she is working really hard to get kids to be interested in history and interested in the history of where they live.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, with all the fantastic history programs going on, you got the museum that's getting ready. You know, they're entering into phase two. You're going to have this amazing resource downtown. I mean, somebody could go on a fantastic little history journey. Hit the library, hit the museum. You know, maybe even get a presentation from one or the other. It's absolutely amazing the way that people can take advantage of this.
Now.
And the Wyoming Room is open
Monday through Friday from 9 to 5.
And I can go in there and I can research almost anything that I want.
Yep.
Anything having to do with Sheridan history is kept right inside that room.
Sheridan history and also local and regional history. So lots of Wyoming history, a little bit up into Montana.
You know, folks, if you get a chance, go in there and read about Duffy's Bluff.
There you go.
That's one of my favorite little pieces of local history. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
So, who was the genius that decided to call them jet skis when boater cycles wasn't even taken yet? Well, the same goes for you fixing or tuning up your own 4x4 side-by-side, because you won't do it. And if you do it, why, you'll just do it wrong. You got to get that machine to Hando's Service Center. Hando's is local boys who learned engines way before they learned long division. Hunting season's here, so don't risk walking back to the truck. Get there and then get back again on a machine set up for you by Hando's Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
It's almost time for the kids to go back to school. And you want to make sure they get there, right? Well, take the car to Midas for a back-to-school checkup. Midas checks fluids, belts, tires, brakes, battery, coolants, and more. And if you need tires, save up to $140 on Cooper tires. Transportation is a very important part of actually getting them back to school. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan, home of the lifetime warranty on brakes, shocks, struts, mufflers, and now tires.
Boating season is underway, and safety should be on all watercraft users' minds. Are your life jackets up to date? Are there enough to fit everyone on board? And do they still fit? Before you head to the lake this summer, do a quick check through of all your safety gear, fire extinguisher, air horn, throwable device, lights, so on, and update or fix them. A fun summer on the water starts with being safe first. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Redgrade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides, perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
This is Joe Hando of Hando Service Center, and I absolutely credit Gene Sterling and Sheridan Media for the ongoing success of my business. Not a week goes by that someone doesn't stop and say that they love my radio ads on Sheridan Media. What I appreciate is knowing that as a small business owner, I am just as important as the big guys, and maybe even more. My radio ads have won awards, in turn brings me new business. So thank you, Gene, and thank you, Sheridan Media. Good folks doing good business.